This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. The World Trade Organization on Monday issued a compliance panel ruling that U.S. country of origin regulations are not in compliance with previous WTO decisions. The panel decided that the amended COOL rules accorded less favorable treatment to imported livestock than to U.S. livestock and violated Article 2.1 of the WTO's Technical Barriers to Trade Agreement. Americans prefer to buy food products that they know were grown and raised by America's farmers and ranchers, and AFBF supports a country of origin labeling program that conforms to appropriate parameters and meets WTO requirements, according to American Farm Bureau Federation President Bob Stallman. Farm Bureau is carefully reviewing and will work with the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative and USDA to reach the goal of an effective COOL program for meats that conforms to international trade rules. Still lagging behind the typical pace as wet fields have slowed work for most of the month, farmers have now completed harvesting 31% of the corn crop while soybeans are at 53%, according to the Agriculture Department Weekly Crop Progress Report. Farmers have continued to make some modest progress in harvesting as they once again gained 7 percentage points to achieve 31% of the corn harvest, which remains slightly behind the 38% achieved in 2013, but trails by a good margin the 5-year average of 53%. Soybean farmers increased their harvesting rate by 13 points over the past week and now stand at 53% completed. The uptick has also narrowed the gap between this year and the 61% achieved in 2013, or the 5-year average of 66%. The total number of pig farm samples that have tested positive for porcine epidemic diarrhea virus now stands at 8,622 in 31 states, according to a Pig Site article. Since full reporting of testing began in November 2013, a total of 35,126 farm samples have been tested, of which 22% have tested positive for the virus. The news is not good for chocolate lovers. The cost of cocoa, a commodity that has risen in price by 50% since early last year, is getting another increase because of the Ebola crisis in Western Africa, the world's biggest cocoa-producing region. Reduced supplies and greater concerns about the spread of the virus could mean even higher prices, which will likely trickle down to the consumer in the form of more costly candy, baked goods, restaurant desserts, and other products. A survey by the American Farm Bureau Federation shows more farmers are reaping the benefits of the latest agricultural technologies, but most remain wary of risks involved with big data collection. Fully 77.5% of farmers surveyed said they feared regulators and other government officials might gain access to their private information without their knowledge or permission. Nearly 76% of respondents said they were concerned others could use their information for commodity market speculation without their consent. Farm Bureau wants to be sure that farmers and ranchers' data are protected, and we're asking the hard questions to make sure that happens. Farmers should know who owns their data and how they plan to use it. It's up to companies that collect the data to make all that clear. Farmers overwhelmingly agree. More than 81% believe they retain ownership of their farm data, according to Farm Bureau. Yet, it's still unclear how most, more than 82%, how companies intend to use the farmers' data. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack on Tuesday announced that USDA is investing $4.9 million in 50 projects across the country to support small and emerging rural businesses and rural transportation projects. The investments announced through USDA's Rural Business Enterprise Grant Program promote the development of small and emerging businesses in rural areas. RBEGs may also be used to help fund distance learning networks and employment-related adult education programs. Eligible applicants include local public entities, private nonprofit corporations, and federally recognized Indian tribes. The Growing Food Connections Policy Database is now live online, providing a searchable collection of local public policies that explicitly support community food systems. The database provides policymakers, government staff, and others interested in food policy with concrete examples of local public policies that have been adopted to address a range of food systems issues: rural and urban food production, farmland protection, transfer of development rights, food aggregation and distribution infrastructure, local food purchasing and procurement, healthy food access, food policy councils, food policy coordination, food system metrics, tax reductions and exemptions for food infrastructure, and much more. Growing Food Connections works to build the capacity of local governments to improve community food systems to benefit small and mid-sized farmers and underserved community residents. The Environmental Protection Agency is proposing a regulatory framework on states that will transform how electricity is generated, transmitted, distributed, and used from existing coal, oil, and natural gas-fired power plants. This proposal will affect all Americans negatively by raising their energy costs as much as 20% or more in some states. Farmers and ranchers and their energy-intensive livelihoods will be especially hard hit. EPA's proposed Clean Power Plan, if finalized, will use Section 11D of the Clean Air Act to require reductions in carbon dioxide emissions from existing coal, oil, and natural gas-fired power plants. There is still time for you to do something about this proposal. Visit the Action Alert on the FB Act webpage to send your message to EPA by the deadline of December 1. New analysis predicts that compliance with EPA's proposed greenhouse gas regulations could total upwards of $366 billion. As jarring as the numbers are, they're of little surprise to farmers and ranchers who have been warning that the regulations would greatly jeopardize the availability of an affordable and reliable supply of energy. 24 county farm bureaus nationwide were recognized by the American Farm Bureau Federation for innovative program ideas in this year's County Activities of Excellence Awards program. The winners will be highlighted during AFBF's 96th Annual Convention, January 11th through the 14th in San Diego. The CAE program acknowledges and shares successful County Farm Bureau programs and activities. The awards are based on County Farm Bureau membership, and the CAE focuses on Farm Bureau's priority issues in the following areas: education and ag promotion, member services, public relations and information, leadership development, and policy implementation. This year's CAE award winners come from 12 states: Alabama, California, Florida, Illinois, Kentucky, Maryland, Missouri, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Texas, and Wisconsin. Sowing the seeds of an illogical crop ban, an LA Times editorial points out that a proposed ban on genetically engineered crops in the city of Los Angeles is full of inconsistent logic and wild statements. The editorial opens with, "Last year's half-baked and unsuccessful proposal to ban genetically engineered crops in Los Angeles has not improved with time. The proposal was brought up to City Council again, complete with wild statements about bioengineered food, chock full of inconsistent logic and, just like last year, rendered virtually meaningless because there are no such crops in the city and no plans to grow them." The editorial concludes, "Making sound policy requires lawmakers to rise above irrational fears and easy generalizations and to become informed about science." And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.